Ludwick Methodist Church.
I was part of the boys' brigade there for a while. My parents told me one day in 1956 that a new boys' brigade company was to be started up. I was to go down to inquire about that, not to commit myself in any way, but just to find out about the day and the time. So I went down, knocked on the door of the church wardens, Mr. and Mrs. Rees, expecting just to be told the day and the times of the meeting. They were most hospitable. They invited me in. They gave me tea and biscuits. They gave me cake. They treated me like an honoured guest. I was there about 2 hours. I think my parents thought I'd left. And they were so kind and so appreciative that I hadn't the heart to tell them I'd just called to inquire, and dutifully turned up on the appropriate evening for the first night of the Boys' Brigade meeting. Our captain in those days was Mr. Dennis Barber. I was with the Boys' Brigade, not very spectacular term of membership, until, if I remember rightly, about 1958 when I left.
And this is the 4th Boys' Brigade.
That's right, yes. Whether they were instrumental, I don't know. Mr. Rees was an officer in the Boys' Brigade when it started up. Whether they knew Mr. Barber or whether there was some other basic connection, I don't know. There must have been about a dozen, something like that, to put a very rough figure on it. Oh, it's the customary Boys' Brigade uniform of the forage cap, the white haversack, the brown belt with its brass buckle. If you were awarded any particular badges, you wore them on your left sleeve, or if you had an NCO's rank, you pinned them onto the NCO's strip with the chevrons on it on the left arm. It started at 7:30, went on till about 9. Mr. and Mrs. Rees's son, John, of course. I think there was Richard Walker, David Hart, Austin Jenkins, who is an old friend of mine. I'm not sure if he joined then or later. Yes, he must have joined very close to the opening day.
Mr. Dennis Barber.
Mr. Partington, yes. His son was one of the NCOs in the brigade, Alan.
Yes.
And then after Mr. Partington had been captain for about a year, she'll put a rough time on it, Mr. George Johnson came and took over the captaincy. He held that for many years. Mr. Barber was perhaps the best loved. I don't think he was the greatest disciplinarian, but he was a very kind and hospitable man.
Yes.
All the boys in the brigade knew him and his wife Doris very well indeed, and we were welcome guests at the barber's house whenever we cared to call. In the boys' brigade, we used to have a Sunday morning meeting before the church service. Sometimes one of our own officers, who were very good, would take the meeting. Sometimes there'd be a guest speaker. And on one morning, a young Yorkshireman had been invited to speak. I didn't remember his name, nor if he was actually resident in the Garden City or a visitor. He had, in fact, just moved to Welland Garden City. I was so impressed by the way he spoke. He spoke with great conviction, and he talked to a group of boys as he was addressing a group of young men, and he impressed me so much I went home and told my parents all about him. Now, as I said, I only attended for church services in those days. I didn't know very much of what else was going on in the church. And then one evening in October 1959, a young couple sitting beside me, who turned out to be Tom and Ruth Kiff, who were leaders of the youth club, said, would I like to belong to the youth squash? That was a meeting in somebody's house after church. I think it was called a squash because that's what you had to do to get everybody in. So rather reluctantly, I went along. And we had such a good time there. I had found not just one or two, but a whole room full of people with a sense of humour right down to my level. And when they said, the youth club meeting is on, it was either Tuesday or Thursday, would I like to come along? I went. And we went in through the side door of the old church hall, and somebody said to me, that's Mr. Mays, he's the leader. And I looked across the hall, and standing on the other side of the grand piano were the leaders. And I saw in Mr. Mays the same man I had seen 2.5 years before taking the boys' brigade meeting, and I knew in that long instant that this youth club would be a success. I'm not sure for how long it had been going on before that. Not long, I think, but perhaps.
Yes.
But they were regular attenders. We were down there every week. We just about lived at the church, I think. And we attended the church morning, evening. If there was anything going on, any activity, we were involved in that. We were not coerced into this. This was just how the youth club ran, and we liked it, and we went along. About half a dozen of our members ended up singing in the choir. We would hold our own service in the about halfway through the youth club evening, called, rather incorrectly, the epilogue. We'd take it in turns to take part or all of the service. John Piddick, who was one of our leaders and could turn his hand to just about anything, made a sort of lectern or pulpit from which the Bible could be read and the Word of God preached, and members of the youth club would take it in turn to take part of the service, preach the sermon. It was most impressive. Mm. We were very much incorporated into the church. We consider ourselves as much part of the church as any other organisation. And Jeff Mays and the others got us involved in MAYC Weekend, which is the annual meeting of youth clubs from all over the country, held up at the Albert Hall on Methodist Central Hall every year, and is still going strong. Jeff used to organise visits to the industrial concerts, where well-known orchestras under famous conductors would perform for us. The charge for any and every ticket was then, I think, about half a crown. And you took potluck. You could be sitting in the front row of the stalls, you could be sitting up in the gods, you could be somewhere in between. We've all been there. And we saw some very, very fine performances there. Mm. And youth club camps, Jeff and his colleagues organised for us. Outings he organised. Let me think, we went to Wootton Bay on the Isle of Wight, which is a wonderful holiday. Beautiful weather. It only ever seemed to rain at night time or during meal times. Other than that, it was gloriously sunny. My father was ill the following year, so I couldn't go to the camp, but they went to Eam up in Derbyshire. We went to Barrow, which is near Brain Sands in Somerset. Later on, when the youth club was under the general leadership of Miss Janet Smith, or Janet Taylor she became, we went to Littleham in Somerset. Other than that, I'm not sure, because by that time years had gone by and I had left. Generally, they laid on a coach to take us from A to B. It was about 7 to 9 to put a rough time on it. Well, if there was anything like a church bazaar or jumble sale or something like that, we'd be roped in to help with that.
Yes.
There's morning coffee on a Saturday morning. Yeah. Usually a few of us would help out in the organisation of that. Anything else we could get involved in. And, of course, yes. As I say, the choir, we I've already mentioned that, but we were enthusiastic singers. Mm. If there's anything musical, we'd go down and be involved. Going out on walks over to Tewin or Diggswell or anywhere, yes, certainly. I remember we walked over to St Albans, and I'm not sure we didn't walk back on one particular day. I forget whether it was in connection with some charity or whether we just did it. From about 12 to late teens, I think, youth club members, as I say, wanting to be involved in everything, went out with the choir and other members of the congregation for the usual carol singing. This was Christmas 1959. A week or two after that, Ken Harnell, the choir master, approached me after an evening service and asked if I'd like to join the choir. I was very surprised and honoured at being asked this, most unexpected. So I joined, and other members of the youth club joined as well. I think we had about half a dozen members of the youth club in the choir at one time. The trouble with youth clubs is the members grow up and they leave to go to university or to work further away, one thing and another.
Yes.
I stayed until it was just about at its very end, when there was just a handful of us down there.
Every Sunday?
Yes, pretty well.
Cantatas
and anthems and so on and so forth. Mr. Harnell had a programme whereby he would he would have something under rehearsal. We were always singing something new, whether it was just a short introit of a few lines or whether it was a cantata or something like that. We had in 1960 The Last Supper by Eric Tiemann. Some years later we had The Passion of Christ by Percy Fletcher. No, I think it was still 1960. A lot of the youth club members became full members of the Methodist Church. You have membership classes to for the minister to talk and teach and discuss. And if people decided they want to go in for full membership of the Methodist Church, there is a membership service. This was held in the what was by then the new Methodist Church, which went up in 1956. And the line of young people being received into membership stretched pretty well the whole length of the communion table. What I remember particularly, after the harvest festival service, we would help to clear the produce from the church into the hall, and all hands to the pump, so to speak, and the air seemed filled with the perfume of chrysanthemums. I always associate that with the harvest festival. But they would have a harvest festival supper. And I mean, in those days, trestle tables were put out, cloths on the table, the tables laid, and you have the church hall full of people celebrating the harvest. And then they would have the auction after that. I know John Piddock, on one occasion, when we were camping down, I think it was when we went down to Somerset, went down there and did a sort of filmed interview about where we would be and what would be going on.